As you heard during Talitha's time with children, we are now starting the third week of the Easter season. The Easter season is, of course, as you heard earlier, a collection of weeks, six of them, I believe, that connect Easter Sunday and Pentecost. And each Sunday during the Easter season, it is traditional in churches to read passages from the Bible that tell one of the resurrection stories or that talk about the resurrection. And usually we do read these stories, which are accounts of Jesus appearing to his friends after he rose from the dead. And like a lot of the resurrection stories, this morning's lesson from Luke, what we call the story of Jesus' appearance on the road from Emmaus, or the road to Emmaus, this story reads like a ghost story. Now, I hesitate to call it a ghost story because Christian tradition and the internal narrative of the resurrection story inform us that the resurrection Christ was no ordinary ghost. But still, if I was just reading this passage without context or the weight of tradition, I'd call it a ghost story. And you should feel free to call it a ghost story if that makes sense to you. And if you do, I won't hold it against you. After all, in the story, we have Jesus back from the dead, which makes him at least ghost-like. And in the story, he plays a trick on his friends, hiding his identity, then uncloaking in the breaking of bread, and playing tricks on people. That is, ghosts do that a lot in ghost stories. And then once Jesus has had his fun by messing with his disciples, he simply vanishes into thin air, which again is entirely ghost-like. In fact, you know what? To heck with it. To heck with tradition, to heck with context, this is a ghost story. And as such, as a ghost story, it presents a challenge to us as modern, rational, scientifically informed readers of the Bible. And it forces us to ask, is there anything we modern, rational, scientifically informed people, is there anything people like us can learn from a ghost story? From a tale of mystery and wonder? Well, I hope the answer is yes. In fact, as a modern reader, I feel wonderfully invited by this story to meet God in the places of life that are mysterious and wondrous, and which cannot really be explained, or at the very least, the places whose beauty is somewhat diminished by over-examination. And that's not always easy for us. I, for one, am always trying to figure things out, and when I'm not trying to figure things out, I'm rushing around too fast to stop and experience the ordinary miracles and mysteries that might open my eyes so that I discover myself to be in the very presence of God. And I suspect I'm not the only person in this room for whom this is an issue. Now, whenever I think about what it means to meet God in the mysterious and the improbable places of life's journey, to pay attention and to take time to be amazed by what cannot be explained, when I think about meeting God in mystery, I think of a book I read many years ago, a book called Rain of Gold, whose author is Victor Villasenor. In the book, the author tells the story of his parents' migration to the United States from Mexico during the early years of the 20th century. It is a wonderful book, and I recommend it to you in its entirety. But my favorite part of the book is actually the foreword to the book, in which the author writes about his struggle with writing down the crazy and highly improbable stories his parents and relatives told him about their early lives in Mexico. And I'm going to read a long portion from that foreword to the book Rain of Gold by Victor Villasenor. Villasenor writes, "Some of the things that my parents and relatives told me were just too foreign, too fantastic for my modern mind to accept. For instance, the gold mine where my mother was born had been purchased by a man who'd skinned out a steer because the hide was more valuable than the meat, and he'd run the naked animal up the mountainside to pay the Indians off. My God, I couldn't write that down with conviction. First, it was too barbaric, and secondly, I didn't think it was possible. But my relatives kept insisting that it was absolutely true. I grew to doubt all their stories and began to think that they only spoke in metaphors at best. Then, with the birth of our first child, I decided to make the big leap. I went down to Mexico with the exclusive mission of researching my parents' past, of questioning everything that I'd been told and see if, once and for all, it was possible for me to believe enough in my ancestral past so that I could write it down. I went by plane, by bus, by truck, by burro, and by foot. It took me 2 days to climb the mountains of La Barranca del Cobre, where my mother was born. One morning, I saw Indians so shy that when I waved to them, they froze like deer, then ran away from me with the agility and speed of young antelope. I saw swarms of butterflies, so vast that they filled the entire sky like a dancing tapestry. I saw skies so clear and full of stars that I felt close to God. I spoke with a local rancher who butchered cattle for a living, and I asked him if it was possible to skin out a steer alive and run him up a mountain. He said, sure. You knock the animal out with a sledge and four good men could have him skinned before he came to, then believe me, he'd run like hell for a couple of miles before he died. But then another problem presented itself. Both of my parents used the words miracle, greatness, devil, and God so often that when I translated these words into English, the whole story didn't sound right or believable. And also, to add to my problems, my parents and relatives kept telling me how they'd grown up feeling so close to the Almighty that they'd spoken to Him on a daily basis as one would speak to a friend, and how now and then God had actually spoken back to them in the form of miracles. I was stumped. I thought if I wrote this down, I'd look totally foolish. But as the years passed and I recorded their stories and listened more and more to my parents and relatives, I began to see that yes, indeed, they had lived in a world engulfed by God's Spirit. Or as my grandmother, Doña Margarita, once told my father, do you really think God stopped talking to us, His people, with the Jews in the Bible? Oh, no, mijito. God lives, and He still loves to talk, I tell you. All you have to do is look around and open your eyes, and you'll see His greatness everywhere. The miracles of life. La vida. Now, I have to admit that it would be easy for me to give you a knowing nod and a wink and say that Villaseñor, like his parents and relatives, he's a storyteller with a good dose of pre-modern thinking going on in his head. It would make me seem reasonable and rational and serious. But dearly beloved, I've been to the Sonora Desert. And I've seen the butterflies Villaseñor talks about. Not perhaps in such great number, but big enough and magical enough to know that we live in a world of wonders. And like Villaseñor, I've also learned that God meets us in places of mystery and wonder. That God walks with us unknown, and then in a moment, our eyes are opened, and we see God. And sometimes the mysteries aren't so much hard to believe as they are unexpected. For example, for 10 years, I lived in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood in San Jose. Most of my neighbors in those years were from Mexico, immigrants, but a Cambodian order of Buddhist monks purchased a house a few blocks from where I lived, around the corner from Cesar Chavez's childhood home. And they turned that house into a monastery. And I would walk by that house sometimes, and I'd see the monks outside in their saffron robes playing bocce ball, of all things. And often when they'd play bocce ball in their saffron robes, their game was accompanied to the pa of ambient, accordion-heavy banda music from a nearby party. It was not magic in the way this morning's lesson from Luke is magic. But still, I found God to be present in the minor miracle of Southeast Asian monks playing an Italian game in an American city surrounded by Mexican immigrants, listening to music that is really just Bohemian polka, introduced to Mexico by German immigrants and then translated into Spanish and dressed up in cowboy boots. To be in that place was to experience the miracle of the global human family. And God was there. But I had to stop and listen and look. I had to pay attention to the miracle. And I hope you will look for and find God in this world of wonders and mystery that is our home. I hope you will find God in unexpected beauty and in the times when you are surprised by joy or confounded by mystery. Look for God when things simply don't make sense. Now, I know there is a potential problem with what I am saying. If we're not careful, this message can be sort of escapist. We can spend so much time enjoying the wonder and mystery of life that we don't engage the world around us, addressing the very real political, social, and material needs of the poor and the dispossessed and the marginalized. If we're not careful, attentiveness to mystery can distract us from the church's work of proclaiming God's justice and peace. It is a concern. But if we are attentive in the right ways, the risen Christ we meet in the moments of mystery actually can lead us into, not away from, but into the work of addressing issues like poverty and injustice. In his short story, The Happy Prince, Oscar Wilde tells the story of a swallow who meets the statue of a prince, and the statue is covered in gold. He has gems for eyes and a gemstone on the hilt of his sword, and he asks the swallow to take those gems to the poor of the city. Now, the swallow is on his way to Egypt, where he plans to spend the winter, but the statue convinces the bird to stay and to tell him about Egypt. Wilde writes that the bird told the statue of the red ibises who stand in long rows on the banks of the Nile and catch goldfish in their beaks, of the Sphinx who is as old as the world itself and lives in the desert and knows everything, of merchants who walk slowly by the side of their camels and carry amber beads in their hands, of the king of the mountains of the moon who worships a large crystal, of the great green snake that sleeps in a palm tree and has 20 priests to feed it with honey cakes, and of the pygmies who sail over a big lake on large flat leaves and are always at war with butterflies. Dear little swallow, said the prince, you tell me of marvelous things, but more marvelous than anything is the suffering of men and women. There is no mystery so great as misery. Fly over my city, little swallow, and tell me what you see there. So the swallow flew over the great city and saw the rich making merry in their beautiful houses while the beggars were sitting at the gates. He flew into the dark lanes and saw the white faces of starving children looking out listlessly at the black streets. Under the archway of a bridge, two little boys were lying in one another's arms to try to keep themselves warm. How hungry we are, they said. You must not lie here, shouted the watchman, and they wandered out into the rain. Then he flew back and told the prince what he had seen. I am covered with fine gold, said the prince. You must take it off leaf by leaf and give it to my poor. The living always think that gold can make them happy. Leaf after leaf of the fine gold the swallow picked off till the happy prince looked quite dull and gray. Leaf after leaf of the fine gold he brought to the poor, and the children's faces grew rosier and they laughed and played games in the streets. We have bread now, they cried. I am convinced that the God we meet in mystery, the risen Christ who opened the eyes of his friends when they broke bread, this same God meets us in the mysterious and wondrous places of life. And sometimes the mysteries lead us into places where God meets us in acts of charity or in the work of living in solidarity with those the economy of empire has left behind. My prayer is that you will look for the wonder and mystery that is all around us. And having found it, look for God. And allow the God of mystery to fill you with wonder and lead you into a deeper faith that brings you joy and that inspires you to live lives that transform the world. Amen.